Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It's good to see folks back in the sanctuary again this morning. Also, a special welcome to all of those who are still listening on the radio and to our live stream internet. Changes seem to be happening from time to time and on a regular basis. Sometimes they happen faster than we can get them in bulletins, and so I did want to mention that our latest changes are in the bulletin. They are at the end, and that's the procedures for opening up the sanctuary and other functions of the congregation, and I read through those last week. Again, those changes are also listed on our Facebook page and also on our web page as well then, too. For our worship this morning, it is recommended that you do wear your face mask, and hand sanitizers are available at the two entrances. And also, too, you've noticed the pews are marked. We want to spread out a little bit. For offering, the offering plates are at the entrance areas. Also, too, with your attendance cards, if you can just leave them in your pew next to the center aisle, or there's also little baskets at the entrances as well then too as you leave worship. You can drop those off in there. For communion, we will be doing communion every week so that people do not miss, so that nobody is left out of Holy Communion. And a few special instructions then too with communion as we do this and try to do this safely. We will have continuous communion, which means that we will not be coming to the rail. And as you receive the elements, there's a few special instructions in too. When you receive the wafers, don't grab them. Actually, there's a proper liturgical way to receive Holy Communion, the wafers. What you do is you hold your hands like this. You hold your hands out in the form of a cross. There's a lot of symbolism in that as you do that. For one thing, it is the sign of the cross. It reminds us of that cross and that resurrection of Christ, that Christ is giving his body for us. It also says that this bread of life is precious, it is holy, that is Christ, so we cradle it. And it also reminds us then of the Christmas story too, because we are cradling that body of Christ in our hands. And then we go ahead and eat it. With the cups, then we'll have the individual cups, and the ushers or the servers will hand you the cups. And so if you can grab them either with one hand, or you can even grab them with two from underneath then. That would be the best way to do this. All right. One other change that did not make it into the bulletins, it was a last minute change. We are going to be doing a drive-by communion as well, too. For those who were not quite ready yet to come back into the sanctuary, I think we have a few people out in our parking lot this morning, and then people are still in their homes. But right after the worship service is over, we will have a station outside by the elevator door entrance. So over here by the elevator door entrance, you are welcome to drive by and receive Holy Communion. And we will be out there at least until 10:30 this morning. Okay. One other note then too, it looks like we are having a larger capacity within our larger attendance within the sanctuary. We figure the sanctuary holds about 400 people. If we try to stay within the guidelines of the governor, that means that we can have about 100 in the sanctuary. If we start to hit those numbers, if we get close to those numbers, we will start adding extra services. Right now at this time, one of the issues of not having back-to-back services in here is how to sanitize the sanctuary. I think we're getting there. We're finding some products that can do that without marring our furniture, woodwork, carpet, cushions, and all that's in here. Okay. Does anybody else have announcements? Any other announcements this morning? If not, then we begin with our opening hymn, number 780 out of With One Voice. Thank you.
continue with the confession. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O God, from whom all good things come, lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to think those things which are right, and by your goodness, help us to do them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 763 out of With One Voice. You may be seated.
First lesson is from the 17th chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 22. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. And he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm 66 responsively. Bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You let enemies ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. I will offer you sacrifices of fat beast with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats. I called out to him with my mouth, and his praise was on my tongue.
If I had found evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me.
But in truth, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. The second lesson is from the third chapter of 1 Peter, beginning at verse 13. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. You may be seated. And Nick has the children's sermon this morning.
I have in my pocket that I'm holding right now, I'm going to hold your stuff right here. This is a $25 gift card to any restaurant in town, in Yorktown, Texas. And so, kids, $25 is a lot, but let me put it to you so you can actually see it. So, $25 to any restaurant in Yorktown, Texas, which means I can go to 5D's and get two appetizers free. I don't have to pay for them. I can go to either Texan and get two large pepperoni pizzas. I can go to Aunt Di's and go get two plates of food for myself, plus dessert. I can go to Jalisco's and go get also maybe two plates and an appetizer for free, and maybe a dessert, depending on what I get. I can go to Subway and get two 12-inch subs. I can go to the Donut Palace and get two dozen donuts for the kids and bring them here on Sunday. So if we ever have Sunday school, we'll have free donuts because of Yorktown, Texas. And my favorite place on here is Dairy Queen, which means with $25, I can get a mini blizzard from Dairy Queen, and I can get about 19. It's $1.79 for a mini blizzard. So let's just be safe and say 19 mini blizzards if I wanted to. So this card right here is a promise. And it's very unique because I didn't pay for it. None of this came from my wallet. Somebody gave it to me. And so when I had the children's sermon and I saw the gospel lesson, I said, how do I talk to the kids about a promise? What's the best way to explain it? It just so happened to be that my friend gave me this gift card. And so what did I do to earn this gift card? I did nothing. How much did this gift card cost me? Nothing. If you go down to Dollar General and you say, Mom, can I have a gift card? Dad, can I have a gift card? It usually costs them $10, $15, or $20. So it costs them. It doesn't cost you. This card didn't cost me anything at all, and with it, I can get free stuff. So this gift card, in a way, is an example of how Jesus works and how the Holy Spirit works. What did you do to receive the Holy Spirit? Nothing. How did you earn it? You did it. Were you a good little boy or a good little girl? Yes, you are good. But you're also, sometimes in the basement, I hear us being way too loud. I hear parents scream at their kids saying, please, hush. So I know you're good, but I also know that some of you can just be just a little bit bad. So what did you do to deserve the Holy Spirit? Nothing. But how did you get the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus says it here in the Gospel of John when he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of the truth, also known as the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. However, you know him because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he will be inside of you. So, we have this little triangle right here. And you are in the middle of it. And inside of it, the triangle, is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. And they're all surrounding and protecting you as you go about your daily life. And so, what does that mean for us? It means very good news, which means we are protected in the afterlife when we die, but we're also protected here on earth as we go about and we grow from little boys and little girls to grown men and grown women. And that Holy Spirit resides in you and protects you. And how do you know the Holy Spirit is working with you? So, remember, I know you kids are good, but sometimes you act up just a little bit. So, how do you know the Holy Spirit is working inside of you? Well, this is how you know. Whenever you're about to do something bad, whenever you get mad at your sister or brother, whenever you decide to leave your room a mess, whenever you decide to talk back to your parents, or maybe ignore them on purpose, and you hear the little guilty conscience that says, don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Whenever you do something good, like if you had $2 and you decided to give a dollar to a friend, that's the Holy Spirit working inside of you. Whenever you decide to obey your parents, that's the Holy Spirit working inside of you. If you wake up early and wake up dad and mom and say, it's time to go to church. We haven't been in forever. Let's go. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. We were just singing songs. And so when you sing songs, if you feel a certain joy of happiness, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. I'm about to stop talking until Pastor Tim can give the sermon. When Pastor Tim is giving the sermon, if you feel a burning sensation, that's not all the ice cream that you ate or any food that you ate last night. That's the Holy Spirit working inside of you. So I thank God for all of you. I thank God for Pastor Tim. I thank God for St. Paul opening back up. And I can't wait to see you again downstairs in the church basement. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Paul would start out on his missionary journeys, he would go to a different town or a different community, and there he would start to talk to people. Maybe he would set up shop, because Paul actually had another business as well then too, other than just spreading the gospel. He was a tent maker, and so a lot of times then he would maybe go down to the marketplace. He would purchase a booth or rent a booth, and he would set up shop for making tents, or maybe making awnings, or repairing tents or awnings, or anything basically that had to do with heavy material or with leather. Paul would do that. But as he would do that then, he would also talk to the people. He'd maybe talk to the other shop owners, or he would talk to the patrons coming by, or he would just talk to the people who were browsing, or maybe some of the soldiers or guards or whoever was wandering around the marketplace at that time. But Paul would also get to know the city. In the off hours, he would maybe walk around the town. He would talk to folks. And when he was finally ready, then many of the marketplaces would have an area where it was common for people just to do some public speaking, to talk about what was going on, make announcements, or even just to vent or to do things. And Paul would take that opportunity then to start talking about Jesus Christ. He would start talking about the good news and start telling the story of the cross and the resurrection. And as more people listened to him, as people would stop by and talk to him, eventually he would have enough to start a worshiping community. And as people, as they would gather each week then for the word and also for the sharing of the bread, he would start to develop leaders within that congregation. And as soon as the congregation then had started and it looked like it was moving forward, Paul would go off and start a new worshiping community in another village, in another place, in another town, in another city. And we can see where Paul moved around. If you look at the New Testament and you look at the books of the New Testament, you can see where all Paul started congregations in Corinth or Colossae or Thessalonica, Ephesus, or in that region of Galatia in Rome. And what would happen then is, so every once in a while he may go back to that community that he started just to visit with them again or to boost them up. But many times he couldn't make it back there, so he would write the letters to them. They were open letters to that congregation, and they also got passed then to the other congregations around them too. And that's how they ended up in our Bible. Those are those open letters to those congregations that Paul had started, sometimes praising them, sometimes chastising them with what was going on. And so in our first lesson today, Acts also records the journeys of Paul and where he went. And in our first lesson for today, it finds Paul in Athens. Now, Athens wasn't one of the most important cities in the region. It wasn't a major shipping channel for folks. It wasn't a major trade center. It wasn't necessarily on the major trade routes. It wasn't a large seat of power, like Rome would be. But they had a famous university there.
scholars from all over the world would come to that university either to teach or to debate the religions and also the philosophies of all that they had. And so Athens became known as the scholarly place, as the place to debate your philosophies. And so when Paul came to Athens, he first took the time maybe to set up shop in the marketplace, but he also took time to walk around the town. And as we see here in our first lesson today, Paul opens up. Finally, he's ready to talk to people in general here. And he stood in front of the Areopagus and he said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way." Now, I'm sure the people of Athens took this as a compliment. They could tell that Paul was sharp, that he was intelligent, and that he was committed. And here, though, he's showing, too, that he cares about the people. He took the time to figure out who they are and what they've got going for them here in this city. But Paul gets going, and he talks about the shrine or the temple of the unknown God, the altar of the unknown God. Now, the story behind this one, I think, was it started a number of years before Paul, that there was a pestilence or a plague or a pandemic that was moving through Athens. And people were getting sick, people were dying, and no one knew how to stop it. Everything they tried would not stop this pandemic. So they got the idea that if they would release a bunch of goats in front of the Areopagus, that wherever the goats stopped, if whatever shrine, and again, people from all over the world had come, they had set up their religions, they had set up their philosophies, so there were shrines to many gods, not only the Greek gods, but also gods from other places around the world, set up there in Athens. And so wherever that goat would stop, a sacrifice would be offered on that altar, would be offered to that god. And if a goat stopped where there was no altar or shrine, then a sacrifice was to be made to the unknown god. Well, Paul sees this opportunity, this shrine to the unknown god. He sees an opening here, a way of relating to the people, to talk to them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so he tells this whole story of his religion within just these few short paragraphs here, of the God who created, of the God who brought out Abraham, of the God who brought up the Jewish nation, of that need for repentance. And then he ends with that story of Jesus Christ, whom God gave his only son to go to the cross for us and die and be raised again. Paul used those opportunities, but he starts off with, again, back to that one sentence here, "I see how extremely religious you are in every way." And as I mentioned, the people were probably proud of that. But I think that was a tongue-in-cheek compliment. Yes, they were very religious people, but they were misdirected. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily want to be, my goal is not to be seen as being religious. That's not my goal that I want to have in life. Now, Christians are religious people. We come to worship or we listen to worship on the radio or internet. We sing songs. We pray. We go through the liturgy, we go through all of this. And that is part of religion, that's being religious. But that's not our end goal. You see, Christians are religious, but Jews are also religious. So are those who adhere to Islam. Buddhists are religious, Hindus are religious. Even devil worshipers are religious in their practices. And it was the most religious people who gave Jesus the most trouble.
the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, all leaders, all religious leaders. And so the goal is not to be religious, but rather than being religious, it's to be faithful. Christ was faithful in all things. He was obedient to the Father. Now, you did see Jesus in a number of stories within the synagogues. He was there in worship. He was participating in worship. He was reading in scriptures. Many times he participated even by speaking in worship. The leaders would ask if he would like to read and interpret scriptures for them. In that last week before he was crucified, what we know of as Holy Week, he spent most of the days there at the temple courtyard. But Jesus was faithful, not necessarily religious, but faithful. He was obedient to the will of the Father. That too is our call, to be faithful. We move through our worship services. We are religious. But at the same time, that's not the end goal. The end goal is to be faithful. As we move through the religion of our worship services, as we move through that liturgy, are we listening to the Word of God? Are we singing those hymns? Are we praying those prayers? And our faith does not stop here at the church doors. Actually, being faithful means carrying it out into that world. If we are faithful, if we hold on to our faith, it becomes a part of who we are. It actually becomes who we are. And so faith leads us in all decisions of life. It leads us in the decisions of who we are to marry. It leads us in decisions of how we are to raise children, or take care of grandchildren, or care for our elderly parents or relatives, how we treat our neighbor, how we treat the stranger. It makes our faith, helps guide us in how we use our money, how we use our property, how we use our time. Our faith is who we are. Our goal is not to be religious, but our goal is to be faithful to the one who created us, to be faithful to the one who died for us and rose for us, to be faithful to the one who continues to guide us through all things. It's kind of interesting that Paul took this note with the Athenians. The Athenians were ready to listen to Paul. They loved the new philosophies. They loved to hear about other religions. And they loved to talk about them and debate them, to argue the merits of each and every one of them. But if you notice in your New Testament, there is no letter to the Athenians. That's because Paul was not able to start a worshiping congregation there. They were too worried about their religion. They were too worried about debating the merits of religion rather than actually living it. Athens was one of the few failures that Paul had in starting a congregation somewhere. But the people were not open to it. They were more concerned with being religious than they were with being faithful. Let us hope that we don't live in Athens, that our lives are not spent in Athens, but rather that we spend our lives being faithful to the one who created us, the one who has redeemed us, the one who has saved us, the one who has promised to give us life and to give life abundantly. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our hymn for the day is out of With One Voice, number 776. Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all those in need. Abiding God, you have revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, where the scriptures have been opened in our midst, that with boldness of heart we proclaim the joy we have in our new life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to the oppressed and speak truth to power through the prophets. Lord, in your mercy. One God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, be present among those whose lives are at stake of bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus. For churches that are persecuted, keep them faithful in proclaiming Christ crucified. Lord, in your mercy. You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way. We pray especially for Joyce Lamprecht and the family and friends of Pastor Ernie Lance. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for all those who are affected by the coronavirus, those who are sick and suffering, families who have lost loved ones, those who have lost their livelihood, medical workers, and those who live in fear and distress. Shine your light on them and on us, that all may see and feel the warmth of your presence, comfort, and love. Lord, in your mercy. You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. Lord, in your mercy. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with joy and gladness. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he gave thanks. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, number 748. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.